Hello and welcome to the Thursday, February 14th, 2013 edition of the Sand Center Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm today recording from Jacksonville, Florida. FireEye wrote a blog post about a new PDF vulnerability that it is seeing exploited against Adobe's PDF Reader and Acrobat. All recent versions of a PDF Reader appear to be vulnerable up to 11.01, which is the most recent one, but if you're still on 9 or 10, yes, you're vulnerable too. Now, there are not a lot of details at this point. FireEye is reporting that it is cooperating with Adobe to let them know what's exactly happening here. Adobe confirmed the problem in its blog, but no patch at this point or timeline for a patch. Also, no real countermeasures so far. The exploit that FireEye observed works pretty much like other PDF exploits. It does drop two DLLs. The first one shows a fake error message and then loads another PDF, so the user actually thinks that nothing bad really happened. They will still see a PDF, and then the second component, also a DLL, will then connect back to a command control server to download additional components. It's not clear if any of these callback servers or such made it into public block lists like OpenDNS. FireEye doesn't really say anything about that. But even if they did, given that these are targeted attacks at this point, it's probably pretty trivial for the attacker to change that to a different server. An Australian developer, Dan Nolan, found an interesting bug in Google Play Store that kind of puts the privacy of buyers at risk. When you are buying software from the Google Play Store, your email address and other information is sent to the publisher of the application, even if you didn't agree to do so. Now, Dan points out that the data the developer receives does have an do not market flag with the email address, so it essentially tells the developer not to use the email address, but the email address apparently is sent regardless whether the flag is set or not. So it's really up to the honesty of the developer not to abuse this information. I couldn't find any confirmation of this issue right now, but if there are any Android developers listening, or iOS developers for that matter, it would be interesting to hear what kind of information you do receive if you do offer your application for sale in some one of these stores. And the White House followed up the State of the Union address with an executive order on cybersecurity. Many people see this cybersecurity executive order as the only thing that's possible right now, based on the fact that it's really hard to get any legislation passed on this matter. I will not really comment on it, but encourage you to read the original. The one thing that I sort of saw is that, well, the executive order itself focuses on critical infrastructure. However, critical infrastructure is very widely defined in this executive order. So that's probably something that you want to pay attention to. It's heavy on information sharing. That's sort of one part, of course, and its Storm Center is always involved and interested in. But other than that, like I said, I'll encourage you to read it yourself and make up your own mind whether or not you like what it's proposing or not. And when we're talking about vulnerabilities in control systems and critical infrastructure, well, we got one less vulnerability. At least I hope they didn't create more, but they patched one vulnerability in Schneider Electric's ICS. That's for industrial control systems gear. It affects a software named AccuTech, which is used to manage various sensors that are typically used in areas that are not easily reachable, like, for example, hazardous manufacturing environments and such. So these sensors use wireless connectivity to then be controlled by this AccuTech manager, which was subject to a heap overflow. But of course, if you are reading some of the diary posts, for example, by Manuel, who is very involved in this arena, there are plenty of other opportunities to break into these systems. And then in particular with search engines like Shodan and such that are actually actively enumerating exposed control systems. Well, and then we have one more patch, probably affecting more of the listeners of this podcast than these industrial control systems, and that's a patch for Ruby on Rails. The recent flaw in the YAML parser is now patched, so make sure you apply this patch as well as the more critical one allowing arbitrary remote code execution. Well, that's it for today, so thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.